Free men sing. Say it one more time. Free men sing. All right. So to set up our passage today, Paul's traveling through Macedonia with Luke, Timothy, and Silas. And when I think of Paul traveling, I often, for some reason, think of him traveling alone. It's not the case. He's always with one to three brothers. And they're going out and they're proclaiming the Word of God. They're proclaiming what has saved them. So before this passage, they lead a wealthy woman named Lydia to Christ. She was a God-fearing woman, and they were staying with her for a time. And what's interesting, the commentators point out that in this passage we see Lydia, who has much wealth, a slave girl who had been the lowest of society, and this jailer who would have been like a working middle class. There's something universal about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So, as we get into this passage, you notice it's written in first person. Luke is along for the ride right now. He's witnessing this. And they hear this slave girl come up and start declaring these things about Paul and those with him. Now, this slave girl would have been known as a Pytho. And I want to read a couple things because it gives us a little more understanding. I looked at Barclay and commentaries from Barclay and F.F. Bruce. Barclay says the slave girl was called a Pytho, a person who could give oracles to guide men about the future. F.F. Bruce continues, the slave girl is described by Luke as having a pythonic spirit or being a pythoness. That is, a person inspired by Apollo, the Greek deity especially associated with the giving of oracles, who was worshipped as the Pythian god at the oracle shrine of Delphi in central Greece. The girl's involuntary utterances were regarded as the voice of the god, and she was thus much in demand by people who wished to have their fortunes told or to receive information or advice which they believed could be supplied from such a source. They believed she was possessed by a god, and she would utter these things about the future. Now, today we might call such a person medium. And one thing I would issue as a warning to believers is that if you're not going to the source of life, you're going to another spirit. And if it's not for Christ, it's against Christ. If you have questions, first go to Jesus. First go to God. Don't go to a medium. This is the girl that was following them. And the one true thing that she did say was that these were servants of the Most High God. After a few days, this began to annoy Paul. And this is the thing. She was bringing these two men lots of money. They were exploiting this girl so that they could be better off. And when the time came, in the name of Christ, Paul called that spirit out and set that slave girl free. And the men were so excited that she had been delivered from this demon that they caused an uproar because they realized that their prophets were now going to go away. So they drag these guys into the city and they brought them before the chief magistrates. And both commentators agreed that there was an anti-Semitic mindset in the Roman world. So the first thing they do is call out that these Jews are stirring up strife. Now what's interesting is Paul and Silas were actually also Roman citizens. And at that point, they could have called on their rights as Roman citizens to be brought before a fair trial to be heard. Because to punish a Roman citizen without due process would be punishable then for those who did it. Meaning, those who unjustly brought the charges and beat Paul and Silas could have been put on trial, if not put to death. And the chief magistrates and their men, let me find this word because this is a difficult, their men were called lictors. They were like the bodyguards. And their symbols were bundles of rods with one axe. And the axe was for corporal, if not capital, punishment. Now, if legend is true, as we believe it is, as it's been passed down to us, remember, eventually Paul was beheaded because he was a Roman citizen. He could not be crucified. So these lictors, they strip Paul and Silas naked and then beat them with rods. You see, proselytizing wasn't necessarily illegal, but it wasn't favorable either. Can we relate to this at all in our culture? So they beat these men and they throw them in prison. Now in the Roman world, there was no care for prisoners. They didn't care if they were well fed or warm or even comfortable. They wouldn't dress their wounds. They would put them in there bloody and broken, and they would put their feet in these wooden stocks, and if they needed to, they would spread their legs a little bit to make it more uncomfortable and make it sure that they would not escape. This is how Paul and Silas were put in prison. I read up on some Roman prisons. Men starved. They would die from their wounds because they were untreated, because they got infected. These were not pleasant conditions. And they were put in the inner cell to shore up that they would not escape. Now, I want you to think about how an American who follows Christ might respond to such things. If we were beaten, if our rights were violated, if we were thrown in prison unjustly, would we respond the way that Paul and Silas responded? Were they being led by the Spirit in this very instance? Because what they do next is fascinating. It's about midnight, and they start praying and singing hymns to God so that the other prisoners can hear and are listening. I gotta read this quote from Barclay. It says, "The one thing you can never take away from a Christian is God and the presence of Jesus Christ. With God there is freedom, even in a prison, and even at midnight there is light." Free men sing. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," in John 14. In John 8, he said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." These men were bloody, they were beaten, they were uncomfortable, they were in stocks, and they were singing hymns. And what this made me think of was Isaiah 6, when the seraphim are above the Lord Almighty and they're singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with His glory." And at the sound of their voices, the thresholds of the temple shook. And I think Paul and Silas joined those seraphim, joined those angels, because the thresholds of the jail shook. The stocks fell off. And literally, they could have left at that moment. They were physically free. at that dark hour. The jailer wakes up. He cannot see inside the prison. What he can see is that the doors are open. So what you do is assume they're out, because no smart person would stay in prison. Most of these jailers were retired soldiers. These were men of honor. Roman law said that whatever prisoners were released, whatever their punishment was, will come back to you. Most likely he would have been killed. Being killed is not honorable. Falling on your sword is. So as I was reading through the commentaries, they said what most likely happened, he stood in the door and the prisoners could see him. They could see the silhouette. They could see what was about to happen. And Paul says, don't do that. Not only were Paul and Silas there, all of the prisoners were there. Something in the presence of Paul and Silas allowed these men to stay in the prison. Even locked up, they were free. Imagine setting all of your rights aside so that you could see another person set free in Jesus Christ. Whew. Imagine if that was our first and only priority. Beaten, bloody, and naked, and bound up. These men sung hymns. And the jailer approaches them and says, trembling, what must I do to be saved? How many times do we see the Lord encounter His servants in Scripture? And they either say, Lord, away from me, I am unworthy. Or what must I do to follow You? What must I do to be saved? And they tell him, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. And it says that they shared the word of the Lord. They shared the gospel with him. They shared what Christ had done and what he was doing right now through his body. Now we just, seven of us went to Tabor's banquet on a Thursday night. And I read a scripture there and said a prayer. In James 2, 18, it says, but someone may say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. I will show you my faith. I will show you how Christ transformed me by what I do. The man who was charged with putting men in prison was set free by those prisoners, by the message that they preached. And his response was to clean their wounds. Scripture says that Jesus was familiar with suffering. In that passage in Hebrews, he understands when we are tempted. He understands when we are tried because he lived as we lived. And he looks forward to rejoicing in the body, rejoicing in the congregation. This jailer mended their wounds. He washed their bodies and then was baptized because he had been washed within. He and his household. And his job was just to make sure that the prisoners were there the next day. So when he had them back to his house, these men who could have run and did not, he was not violating any law. He just needed to know they were going to be there the next day. And he sat down and he fed them. Can you imagine Can you imagine being beaten by a man, being bound, singing hymns, and leading that same man to Jesus Christ to be helped by him and fed by him? Not seeing him as an enemy or one to go against, but seeing him as a brother not yet realized. Hebrews 11:1 says that faith, I'm going to read it because I'm going to mess it up otherwise. What is faith? I know one of you can say it. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Imagine looking at your jailer and be like, tomorrow we're going to be eating dinner at your house. Because Jesus has called us to this time and place. And we have been set free. And what does it say? And he brought them into his house and set food before them and rejoiced greatly. It made me think of the Last Supper. They shared in communion, and it says before they left, they sang a hymn. I imagine the jailer sitting and looking at his now brothers in Christ, saying, what was that hymn you sang just a few hours ago? I want to learn it. Are you free in Christ? Are you free to share the gospel with whomever crosses your path, no matter how you may be violated? Knowing that what Christ has gone through, if God did not spare His own Son, why would He spare us? Why are we better? Our whole goal, our whole mission is to see men and women set free as we have been set free. And when that happens, before that happens, as that's happening, we sing. Free men sing. Amen. Let's do exactly that. Let's have a short word of prayer and then we'll sing our closing hymn. Great is thy faithfulness, I believe. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the servants who have gone before us. We thank you for the servants who have come alongside of us. May our whole focus be on you and bringing people to you, proclaiming the message that you've given us, both in word and song, so that when they look at us, they can see what freedom is. We thank you for the accounts here, and we pray that we may live in that freedom. We lift this all to you in Christ's name. Amen.
We hope the message you've just heard has brought you closer to Jesus. If it has, or if you'd like to learn more about God or about His Word, the Bible, we would love to hear from you. You can call us at area code 717-898-0181, or you can email us at office@hemfieldcob.org. If you happen to be in the Lancaster or Manheim area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Sunday mornings. You can find details and directions at hemfieldcob.org. And now, from all of us at Hemfield Church of the Brethren, we'd just like to wish you and yours a wonderful and blessed week. The music in this recording has been graciously provided by and performed by Kevin McLeod, www.incompetech.com.